given us grace to live a life of peace. He has given us grace to do everything that we ever need in life. That's how much God loves us. And I believe that it is the very nature of every one of us as children of the Most High God, as born believers in Christ Jesus, to believe God and take Him at His word. When God sees us, He sees us as very highly blessed and favored of the Lord people. And it's saying all of that. So then if God is for us, if He be for us, then who would there be against us? There's only one. That is Satan. But Satan is no problem, because Satan is not God's counterpart. He's only a fallen angel, people of God, and understand that. In fact, our Heavenly Father God is so far above Satan and so much greater than this world system that any power that would ever come against you or me, or any problem that creeps up within you, is no match for the one who says that I am with you and I am for you. Glory be to God. Now that ought to give you all, it ought to stir up some peace. If you have a residue, just a little bit of peace in your spirit, that ought to stir it up. That ought to give you peace and assurance that God is on the throne, and God is always working things out for you because you love Him and He loves you. Know this. God has already predetermined to fulfill His purpose for you as a believer. Great confidence in knowing that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what you hear, no matter what you may receive by email, snail mail, if you will, H-E double toothpick mail, any of those kinds of things, hallelujah. Jesus will protect you. And He will deliver you from the severest circumstances and the most extreme experiences and forces in life. Why? Because He loves you. So maintain the peace of God. God always acts for you, never against you. And I believe that's one of the secrets of peace, the peace of God. Knowing that God is always acting for you, never against you. So is there anybody in here this morning or today that does not possess the peace of God? If you do, put your hand up. You don't possess the peace of God. Praise God, that settles it. Praise the name of the Lord. So because now we all have the peace of God. So the question is, and I heard this a little earlier, perhaps it was Minister Mogi, perhaps it was Pastor Dora, between the two, these anointed women of God, talking about there's some things that we need to maintain in life. So then if you have the peace of God, how do you maintain that peace? How do we keep the peace of God ruling and reigning in our souls and in our hearts? That is the question. How do we keep a consciousness of God's very own presence on the inside of us? We say that we have the greater one on the inside of us, but are you absolutely conscious that the greater one is on the inside of you? Do you have that awareness within you that the God of peace lives within your very being? Yeah, you know, sometimes we say, and we say that perhaps in a humorous way, oh, this body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, we say that when we're stuffing all kinds of junk and sweets and, you know, all those kinds of things in there, you know, in our bodies. But this body is, but our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Sanctified.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. But if we will take some steps to continue to draw nigh to God, we will find that the peace of God will forever and always be in our hearts. And that peace of God will rule and it will reign in our hearts and our lives forever if we allow it to. So the question I have for you this morning, people of God, is this. So once we have the peace of God that is flooding our lives, how do we maintain that peace? How do we keep the peace of God, the wholeness, the soundness, and the wellness of God? How do we keep that ruling and reigning within our souls? How do we stay aware that God's very own presence is on the inside of us? Throwing a lot of questions at you on this morning. How do we stay aware that the God of peace lives within our very being? Is that something that we can, we don't do that anymore because we have people that do that for us when we take our cars into maintenance, for maintenance. But I can remember back in the day, we used to throw the hood up on our car, reach in and pull that dipstick out, check and see how much oil we have in it. Do we have a spiritual barometer? Do we have a spiritual dipstick that will tell us when our word level is low? Will tell us when we are our peace with God is ebbing out of our lives and it is not where it should be. How do we know? What do we do? Well, there are several steps that I believe as believers and as people of God that we have to take to maintain the peace of God within our hearts and our lives. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Look back at that first word, and it says, therefore. So whenever we see that word, therefore, in Scripture, the one thing we need to do is just stop and ask ourselves, what's it there for? What's it there for? Well, it's there for a reason. Jesus is telling us that we don't have to be hopeless, you know, even as we see things, our culture diminishing and things that are more negative than they are positive, and in this world which we live today, because I just believe that when the Lord returns, he's going to put all things in order. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. That ought to give you great peace. Yeah. Talking to somebody and you know, he on last night and he was just talking about some things. He was reading a book and, you know, there were a lot of things that had to do with Scripture and all of that. And so, you know, and he proverbially said that we're just going to that place of H-E double toothpicks in a hand basket. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, what's your prescription for us getting out of this hand basket? Well, there was no answer for that. But one way we do that is we look here in, again, verse 1, the C portion of that verse, and it says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Pastor Dora, Minister Mookie, again, you were talking about that. We just have to stand, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, stand therefore, stand fast in the Lord. Step number one. Here's step number one. Peace comes through standing fast. It is the source of our strength. And the source of our strength as people of God is being in the Lord. There it is again. Stand fast in whom? In the Lord. You can stand fast, with your security in the place in which you work. You can stand fast in the security that your bank account is far over and above that you could ever, anything that you could ever want or need in life, that you will be able to have the resources to do all of those things. But none of that means anything if we as people of God don't stand fast in the Lord. It is the peace of God that will keep us. It is the wholeness, it is the soundness, and it is the wellness of God that will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So if a person wants the peace of God, then we have to do it like the Apostle Paul taught us and as he did. And one of the major things that he taught the people in this particular epistle and told them to do was to stand fast in the Lord. That word, people of God, stand fast, it means something. It means to just to simply stand firm, to persist, and to persevere. And Lord knows we have been standing fast. We have been persevering. We have been persistent for a long time, and God is yet with us. Stand fast in the Lord. I see the picture of a soldier that's standing fast against the onslaught of an enemy. Soldiers have this mentality that you never run from, you always run to. Soldiers really do refuse. You thought I was going to say Marines, but I'm just saying soldiers today. I don't want to be, I'm trying to be unbiased and impartial, but I can't help it. I got to go to the Marines. I tried, Lord. I tried to do it. I tried to say what I can. Yeah, because Marines refuse to give ground no matter the pressure and strength of the attack. They don't ever flinch. Never flinch. Make a whole lot of people flinch, but Marines don't flinch. They are not unstable, and they are never defeated. And in the same way and in the same time, every saint of God is supposed to stand fast as well. Yes. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm just getting a little weak-kneed. I'm getting a little wobbly right here, right now. But the Bible says that we are to stand fast in the Lord, people of God. No matter how great the trial, stand fast in the Lord, people of God. No matter the pressure of the temptation you may be confronted with, stand fast in the Lord, people of God. No matter the influence, the offer, or the allurement that's made by the devil. Now, life is full of anxiety, and it produces all kinds of situations around us. And I don't think any of us should ever be surprised or dismayed by that particular reality. Did I hear somebody talking about reality this morning? Well, there you go. Preach my message, huh? Yeah, it was just talking about our reality, the things that we are confronted with. But our reality should be that we have the peace of God. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, the reality is that God loves us. He's always for us, and he is never against us. But even when we are confronted with negative situations in our lives, people of God, we should know how to handle them rather than being ruled by them.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. Yeah. It's amazing to me sometimes when you tell people and you say, You know, you should do this, or you know, I think you'd be better off. And they say, I know. Even before you can forget, you can finish the sentence or the statement, it's always, I know. Well, if you know, why don't you act like you know? Why don't you do that which you know? Yeah. So, people of God, learn to handle your situations and circumstances. Don't allow them to rule over you. Don't allow them to lord over you. There should only be one Lord in your life, and that should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus to rule and reign supreme in your life. So how do we as believers stand fast before the Lord? When the temptation to surrender is so appealing and it just looks like that trial that you're going through is so terrible. What do you do? So, as believers in Christ, our strength is in the Lord, is it not?
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's only one place that we can stand fast. What do you think that place is? In the Lord. It is in Him that we live and move and we have our being. That's when you know you've got the peace of God. Stuff coming at you, and you can just, and I can see myself in that movie, The Matrix, and you see him, and he's, you know, and he's, you know, and he's, yeah, and he just, it's a, you know, just kind of, you know, doing the Matrix thing in the spiritual realm, you know, in the physical, you know, as the enemy. That's why it's so important for us to be able to have on the whole armor of God, so that we'll be able to stand against all those flaming, fiery darts and missiles and those tricks and tactics and all of that negative stuff that the enemy wants to send our way. Because when you're standing in the Lord, you can have peace. You need to have on your spiritual armor. You need to have on your spiritual flak jacket. We used to wear these things when I was in the combat zone, and they were called flak jackets. It looked like a vest, and it had some special composite materials that would cover it. It would cover us around our chest and our back. But there was only one thing. It was not large enough to do whatever, because my radio operator got shot right over the top of his flak jacket in the back, and it killed him. But we have to have on the whole arm. You understand? It's a difference between having on something completely and having on something partially. I dare say you won't ever in life go, you won't allow your children to go out to school any day of the week partially dressed. You better come back in here and put some more clothes on, or no, you're not hooked up right today. Where you think you're going? You ain't even here looking like that. You better come back in here. But we have to be mindful of that for ourselves as well, that we are completely covered and we are in the complete armor of God, because then when we stand, we are standing in the Lord. Yes. We need to keep our minds and thoughts upon the Lord and the mission that He has given each one of us as people of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that in light of the fact that the Lord's return to this earth is imminent, the Apostle Paul is even telling the church at Philippi to stand fast, to stand confidently, and to stand firmly in the Lord. And more as I hear and I see and I read, and you could just feel it in your spirit, I'm more convinced than ever that heaven is the real deal. It's not some made up pie in the sky thing that somebody, you know, came up with and conjured up just to try to keep people in line. But that is the real deal. Just realizing that we're going to be in glory one day, and that we have a single job to do right now in this earth. And one of those assignments is to make sure that we get as many people as we can and say, come along with us, because we're on our way to heaven. And you need to hear the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're looking for peace? You're not going to find it sitting over there on that bar stool. You're looking for peace? You're not going to find it in some opioid or some cannabis or some miracle, medical marijuana or any of that. The only way you're going to find peace is through the wholeness and the soundness and the wellness of God. Yeah. I think even us as saints of God, from time to time, that we worry far too much about what we're doing or how we're feeling. I mean, we all have feelings. We do. You know, we wouldn't be human if we didn't have feelings. But one thing that I've learned is our feelings have to be such so that we control them and they never take us out of the path that the Lord has prepared for us and He wants us to walk in. Yeah. Well, all of us from time to time, we've had a tendency to analyze ourselves to the point of paralysis. You know, you just think about something and you say, all right, well, that's what I'm going to do. That's God. That's what I'm going to do, just that. And then before you get on your way, And you start thinking about it again. No. Let me just back up a step and do all of that. But that's what happens. That's what the enemy wants you to do. You know? He wants to just analyze your situation, and we all are analytical. We think things through progressively. We think things through very analytically. But then we should act on. But then when we say, Lord, all right, I need your wisdom in this situation and circumstance. You see, that's it. That's the elixir. When you say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, what would you have me to do? He say, do this, do this. Go to a street, call straight, just like he did with the Apostle Paul. Right. With Paul of Saul of Tarsus at that time. Told him to go to a street, call straight. Go stand over there. You're going to see a guy standing out there. Do this, 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 and then bam. Radically changed his life. When we say, Lord, I need your wisdom in this situation. Lord, I think I know what to do, but I have some concerns about what I think I need to do. Lord, I want you to tell me what to do. Yes. And he'll give you clear understanding, and he will give you the wisdom and give you the direction to do what he wants you to do. So not only do we have that tendency to analyze ourselves to the point of paralysis, but we also scrutinize our situations continually as well. And we ponder our circumstances tirelessly. But in reality, people of God, it is the joy of the Lord, hallelujah, yes, that will see us through. It is the peace of God that will help us through every situation and every circumstance in our lives. Step number two, what is the secret? What is the peace of God? What is it? The secret of peace is the peace of God himself. The secret of peace is trusting and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. But if you don't have that secret of peace, if you don't have the Prince of Peace, there will never be any peace in your life. And if there's arguing and if there's bickering and biting and dissenting and grumbling and brawling and wrestling and disputing and criticizing, you know, if you have a tendency to do that, people of God, then you have no peace in your life. And if you allow people to do that, to criticize you, argue with you, always keep you in bickering mode and in grumbling mode and all of those things, if you allow them to do that, then you'll never have any peace in your life. So make it a priority, people of God, to walk in prayer and praise all day long. I heard that earlier this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, because when we're walking with the Lord, when he is our constant companion throughout the course of the day, no matter what your task may be, is spending time with the Lord. And I know that I've been in some places, out in public places, and if I'm walking and, you know, walking down the aisle or going in a store, wherever I may be, and every now and then when I'm thinking of the goodness, when I think of his goodness. We sang that song this morning, didn't we? Yes, yeah. And I'm living the best life now, just walking. I'm living the best life that I could break out with. Hallelujah. And then forget, oh, I've forgotten. People kind of, you know, people in the aisle where I want to duck and cover, you know, because they don't know what's going on. There's some man down there talking about hallelujah. Yeah, I'm hallelujah. I'm in the peace of God. Make it a priority to walk in prayer and praise all day long, because it is the peace of God that will cause you to conquer all trials and temptations and tribulations that you may be faced with. All right, here's another step, rejoicing. Verse 4. The third step to peace is that of rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Did you get that?
Yes.
Note that it says that we are to rejoice always. Yes. That means continuously. That means continually. And then after you have done that, the Bible says, rejoice again and again and again and again repeatedly. Now, it's something to be said for what Paul is imparting to the people at Philippi and also even to us today. Now, remember that Paul is in prison And the church is having a problem because Paul was in prison and there was a whole lot of false teaching that was going on. But Paul was telling them, and he's telling us, that we and them are to always rejoice in the Lord and always walk, hallelujah, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Yeah. And I want to tell you, you may not always be able to rejoice in your circumstances, people of God. That may be a given, but I want to tell you something else. But you can always rejoice in the Lord. That's the difference. Yeah. I see a circumstance over here, but I'm not going to revel in that. I'm not going to rejoice in that. I am going to rejoice in the Lord because he is always going to keep me in perfect peace. In fact, people of God, God created us to live and to operate and function best in an atmosphere of joy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, A, be careful for nothing. That word careful means be careful, be full of care and anxiety in everything that you do. Yes. The B portion of verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we walk with our mind on the Lord, amen, and we think only about those things that are pure and those things that are honorable, knowing that the very God of peace walks with us, and that the God of peace gives us as believers the power to conquer all trials and every situation and temptation in our lives because he's with us. Remember, he loves us. He's always for us. Never against us. Amen. Hallelujah. I got the wave a couple of minutes ago. A few minutes. Let me get ready to close it up here. Verses 8 and verses 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what are we supposed to do? Think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And then what happens? Oh, it's not there anymore. You don't have it. All right. And the God of peace shall be with you. So it's up to you, people of God. It's up to you, people of God, to be watchful and prayerful and work at bringing every single thought that you have that comes into your mind into the subjection of the Lord. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes. Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you as I go to my seat what the Lord wants from us. This is what he wants from us. If you are ever faced with a crisis and you are in need of his help, go to him. Seek him. And I heard this earlier this morning as well. Get quiet before him. Spend that time with the Lord in meditation and prayer, seeking the will and the face of God. And I just wonder this morning, I wonder if there are good men and women that are sitting here today or listening by SoundCloud or even by RWOLFC TV who are feeling pressure in their relationships or on their jobs or feeling financial pressures this morning. And if you're one of those and you're just saying, Lord, help me. I need help. Help me. I'll tell you that the Lord is saying to you this morning, first and foremost, he's saying, come to me. if you're hurting and if you're broken within. And people will say, well, you know, I just don't have time to pray. I'm late for my appointments. I don't have time to seek the Lord right now. I'm always busy. But the Apostle Paul says we are not to be anxious. We are not to be full of care about anything. That's why he tells us to cast our cares on him. Remember that song a few years ago? It was, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Had a little, you know, a little beat to it, and it was all of that and all of that. But that was a slogan that the world adopted. Don't worry, be happy. The latest version of that is no worries. No worries. When you have the peace and the wholeness and the soundness and the wellness of God, you don't have to worry about a thing. Well, this may be impossible for you to do right now. Perhaps you can, but I'm going to ask you at some point today, if you can't do it right now, to find a scrap of paper and write on it everything that concerns you right now today. It could be a health matter. It could be a financial pressure. It could be a family issue, whatever it is. And after you write what you need to write on it, just take it and spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Yes, Lord, I know that you're with me. But I hear the footsteps and the hoofbeats of the enemy, of the Egyptians that are right on my tail. But instead of trying to take them on myself or involve others this morning, Lord, I'm making the commitment right now. I choose to thank you for whatever you want to do in this situation in my life. Lord, these are matters that are trying to weigh me down, Lord. And Lord, because of your peace and your presence in my life, I'm giving this situation to you, Lord, and I know that you can handle it. People of God, I'm telling you, if you do that, I believe that you will experience the peace of God that comes not from your understanding. You see, there's a difference, but which passes your understanding. It will be a peace that will stop the enemy in their tracks, and that will leave you rejoicing in the goodness of our Heavenly Father God. When I think of his goodness and his loving kindness, just like the words to that song say, we say, Heavenly Father God, by and in consequence of the actions of your power that is at work within me and within us, Lord, you're able to carry out your purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. That's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 in the Amplified Bible. Come on, let's rest on our feet here as we close out this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.